Welcome to Activate Yourself with Gita Sidhu Rob, where we feature otherwise normal people who, because of events in their life, have turned left and done unusual, inspiring, incredible things, like build a business, become a happiness expert, marry a prince, create an empire, or like your host, set up a health and wellness business, Nosh Detox. Here's your host, Gita Sidhu Rob.
Hi, my name's Gita Sidhu Rob, and welcome to Activate Yourself. It's another time and another day to be inspired and to think, you know what, my life currently may feel a little shit, but that there's always a reason my life went to hell in a handbasket, because at some stage, this too will have been a learning lesson. Do you know, it's really interesting. When you guys all know, I've had a fairly chaotic past, which I don't have anymore, a nice, calm, drama-free crap. But during that chaos, I always remember thinking, how can I better learn the lesson so I don't have to learn it again? And I just never knew how to do that. And I think I've said this before, but I remember Oprah saying that she would ask as a New Year's resolution to say, please, may I learn to be more loving. And the universe sent her so many shit circumstances where she was forced to be compassionate and loving. Then the next time she said, okay, please teach me how to be happy. And then the universe sent her unhappy situations. So she had to learn how to be happy. She goes, but after a couple of years of this, she gave up asking for anything. She was like, yeah, you know what? Just send me stuff. My lesson always became that. My lesson always became, I just want to learn it without pain. That's okay. No stubbed toes, no broken toes, no broken heart, just want to learn it without pain. But what we're trying to do always, and I think as women, it's particularly important because we have such a huge amount of gaslighting thrown at us. We're always trying to work out how to reconnect with who we are. We're always trying to work out how to not make the roles that we occupy screw up how we feel as people. But for the majority of women, we don't know how to access the person inside of us because no one's ever taught us to do that. And no one actually gives a shit if we do, as long as we all show up and do our roles. Like, oh, are you a good mother? Are you a good this? Are you a good that? Nobody cares really how we feel. And I honestly think this is not too dramatic a statement. So today's guest is a woman who's going to tell us how to do that, because that's what she does all day and every day. So Jade Denny, welcome. Thank you very much for being on with me.
Thank you for having me. It's wonderful to be here.
You said that your job, you see your job as being a mentor to women so that they can really reconnect with their authentic selves, and particularly mums. Tell me a little bit more. Why do you do that?
I think that the reason why I do that is because women face a life of imbalance. They face a life of disconnect to who they truly are as they try and show up as the woman they think they should be. And we know motherhood on its own is a role so complex, and with the added so complex and demanding, and it's easy to feel lost amongst our roles, consumed by them, when we live in a world where we are taught to be everything but who we truly are. And so the reason why I do what I do is because I believe in women living in authentic balance, aligned with their truest self.
And so what does that mean? What does that look like in your opinion?
So authentic balance, to me, I believe that balance has absolutely no comparison. And so, and neither does each of our roles. You know, we're all on our own journey through motherhood, and no two women will ever walk that same path through that.
So you're saying don't think to try and balance yourself by looking at someone else?
Yes, balance isn't found outward, it begins within. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it begins with being your truest version of you and feeling like you can show up as her within every role, rather than showing up as the woman you think you should be, rather than playing the role, you know, being the leading.
So, but how, Jade, the thing is, because I find this super interesting, because I really see what you mean. But the thing is, like, I coach women that are very successful. I really struggle to have them understand that your external success does not actually change the fact that you can have quite low self-esteem.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a lack of that connectivity?
Yes, I do. I think that even obviously success is measured differently to everybody, to every woman. Success.
Yeah, it should be at least, right?
Yeah, we all have our different version of that, our own reality of what that means to us. But no, I think you're right. I think because so many of us are so disconnected, and even taking it down to us, when you say about self-esteem, like our self-image, we can be fully disconnected from our own self. So who we believe we are is usually made up of everything we've ever told we should be, everything we've ever, you know, been led to believe we are. And so, you know, even in high paid roles and jobs as women, we can still have a low self-esteem because we're disconnected from ourselves.
Yeah.
All areas of ourselves, our self-awareness, our self-image, you know, the list goes on.
So why do men not seem to suffer from this in the same way?
I think that men are allowed space to be themselves without judgment and shame. And I think that honestly, in this society, I think women are continuously shamed, continuously.
Yes. Judged. Why is that? What the actual bloody hell?
I think it's just.
I think it's a form of controlling us. Do you not think that?
Yeah. I think deep down, women are extremely powerful beings. And that when we lead with our intuition, when we lead from our truest self, we are extremely powerful, and we can have it all. And that's the truth. And I believe that that is found in knowing who you are and believing in who you are, knowing your beliefs and your values, and being able to show up in every role as yourself, but also knowing that balance is found in finding your flow in your life. And flow is not found when you are living to the expectations of others, society, and so on.
The thing that I find interesting is that when I have conversations about this with people, and I'm sitting there saying, you know, the issue I have with this is that really, as women, we are so trained into understanding that what we do is a measure of our success, not how happy we are. That I remember as a young mother with three small kids and being on my own with them, somebody talking to me about loving myself, and I've said this a lot, but I just didn't understand that. I'm like, how do you love myself? What would, and like, oh, feel your love. And I'm like, do what? You know what I mean? And I had to actually like superimpose the love of one of my children over myself for a while until I kind of build a neural pathway to understanding self-love.
And I think that's, you know, I think that is the majority of women. We don't know how to love ourselves fully. We don't know how to accept ourselves.
Why does society require women to be so
quiet,
tightened into this small, tiny, horrible space? Why is that?
I think that it just stems from systemic oppression and the patriarchy. It's been happening for such a long time, that I think that women just don't know how to be themselves.
Honestly. Okay, now I'm going to say something completely outrageous just before we go for a break. If I met you on the street, yes. You are cute, you're blonde, you've got your 3.5 kids and you live in Kent and you're white, right? And I would never in a million friggin' years expect the word patriarchy to come out of your mouth. I have to tell you, I'm just, you're going to have to forgive me on this one. What the hell? Where did you end up in this? Do you see what I'm saying? You can expect me to say stuff like that, but there's just no frigging way I expect you to say stuff.
No, I think from being a small child, I've always been extremely aware, not only of myself, but of my surroundings, of people, of, you know, everybody's story, everybody's...
Why? Is it because you're an empath? Or why was it? Was it because you had a hard childhood, or was it empath?
I definitely had experiences throughout my childhood. I was raised by a single mum, and she was left extremely vulnerable. So when my dad left, we got moved into social housing. And my upbringing was filled with love, absolutely filled with love, but financially lacking. So I watched her work really, really hard. And so did my dad, you know, but it was two different worlds financially, completely two different worlds.
Yeah.
And I think that is a part of it, being grounded in not having very much, but having so much, as in love, attention, guidance.
The comparison that you can see.
Because
Within 2 years of a divorce, women's standard of living, and I think 2 years is too long, drops by 70% on average.
Yes, exactly.
That happened to us as well.
Yeah, this is something that still happens now. And I suppose being able to be so closely in two completely separate environments, and you know, my brother and I grow up with certain opportunities and my siblings grow up with different ones. We're always very accepting of that, but that was the reality for us. And so
he went on and had more kids.
Yes.
And they grew up in that comfortable environment.
Yes, very
do
much.
You know, so. I just frigging do not. Okay, wait. We're going to talk about this. We're going to go for a break. We're going to come back because I need to have a little rant about this for a moment.
No worries.
Oops, calm down. Okay, we're going on a break.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, we're back. Explain to me what the hell goes on in a man's head where your child is watching you do this and knows you did this. My children would go to their father's house, who cleaned us out and left us homeless. And he had to buy, check this out. He had to buy a box, a special box, because he had all these watches that cost 50 to 80,000, 100,000 pounds. And he had to buy a box for them. And you put the watch in this box and the frigging watch had to be constantly rotated, which is why you needed a special box for it, so that it didn't stop working. And we come back from that to, yeah, here's what we're eating today. And no, I don't know how to pay that. And we can only have one pair of shoes for the whole year. I'm looking at this man and I'm like, do you honestly think that the children don't clock this?
Yeah, I think we were lucky in the fact that my dad showed up on the times that he was meant. So we went there every other weekend and we'd go to his house with my stepmom and be there every other weekend. And when we were there, we had attention and love. But I think when we weren't there, that was kind of out of sight, out of mind. And so
you never resented that?
No. And I think, do you know whether I'm very aware of where that came from. That came from my mum, because she never, ever once highlighted the situation in a negative. It was always how
I didn't, but I could, my children could just see that
I think
differently.
I was very aware of that too.
And here you are trying to empower women. So on some level, you clocked it.
Yeah, 100%. I was aware of it completely. But I think I accepted it very, very quickly. And I think that's why I was able to build such good relationships with everybody within the blended family, because of the acceptance. Yeah, because of the acceptance, I was able to accept the situation, accept my dad, accept, you know, for as it was and who they were, which then enabled me to not hold on to resentment and be able to move forward in a way that enabled me to have good relationships and honest ones. I've always been extremely honest. And these are things, key things that I think people lack in communication, honesty, acceptance sometimes of a situation when it is out of your control, because it was fully out of my control. So for me to hold on to that resentment would have only affected my relationships in a negative way and my own self in a negative way.
So how did you realize that what you had to do was, because you must have worked on yourself before you start to work on anyone else, right?
Yeah.
How did you realize that you were out of flow? in order to think I must be in flow.
So when I had my third child, he was born with a really rare disease. And my whole world got turned upside down. So before that, I'd set up a small business hairdressing, and I was doing wedding hair. I had two other children. I fell pregnant with my first daughter when I was 25. So, and the other two were very close. So I was kind of going through the motions of that. And I was definitely overworking. You know, I was burning myself out. I was doing the children, and then they'd go to sleep, and then I'd be working. I'd be taking on work at the weekends. And I think I felt almost like I had a little bit of something to prove within myself. And that wanting that kind of constant independence, you know, I felt like that's why I was burning myself out a lot. And when Parker was born, with his disease, he was taken into hospital at 3 weeks old. And our whole world stopped.
Yeah, my son had that. It's just
And then when he was diagnosed, I literally completely had to stop my whole business. I had to cancel any weddings that I had booked in. I had to completely stop because I wasn't sure where this road was going to take us now. So I feel like in that moment, that old self part of me kind of had to stop. I had to let go of quite a lot, even in that moment. And then that journey with him from there was where I really began to really look within. I think because we spent so much time in hospital, I had no choice, and I was on my own a lot with a four-month-old baby, and there was nowhere else to be but at home in myself.
Yeah.
And so...
And there's nothing like the sheer isolation of sitting on your own in a hospital with a child.
I'm sure, yeah. And, you know, that...
Terrified out of your mind.
Completely. And with his particular disease, we wasn't sure on what the outcome until he was operated on. We weren't sure. And it's still a bit of a, you kind of go with it and figure it out. But I think really there was so much weight that came with that experience. And it highlighted to me how quickly the roles of a woman can just change over, you know, be... especially motherhood, you know, it can come in and it can really override everything else that's going on in your world. And if you aren't steady or balanced in your mindset or aware of yourself, I think it can really, really impact us in such a negative way. So going through that whole experience with him really deepened my self-connection, and on a level that was, I felt, really quite extreme. And I begin to really look at my entire life and see if it aligned with who I was becoming now, who I was evolving into through this experience.
How did it affect your marriage?
It affected our marriage in a way that we became bound by trauma.
It always goes closer or broken, doesn't it?
And we really learned to be gentle and compassionate with each other as well, because it brought in so much guilt. You know, I was taken away from my two other children for a long period of time, and so learning how to release that and release the expectation of what motherhood should look like, because that wasn't my reality. And I think that's so important and such a key thing for women to know, is that your motherhood, your journey in life will never look the same as the next woman. And so we have to honour our own journeys and each other's and have compassion for ourselves and each other. And I think that's what really helped my relationship with my husband, was finding that compassion through that trauma that we were both experiencing in our own way.
Yeah. I it is like my sick child, who ended up spending about 230 days in hospital, it completely destroyed most of my relationship, you know. And, and you do go one way or the other.
Yeah, I fully agree. It can bring in so much tension, can't it, and pressure. And I think Yeah, I think it's very dependent on how each person deals with that trauma in their own way, because it is trauma. It fully is.
100%. I mean, PTSD is to the max on that stuff.
And I think, you know, we experienced two separate versions of that, even though it was the exact same situation. How he interpreted that would have been slightly different for me, because we're different people. So I think communication through that whole experience was massively important. And we were lucky we had a good support system around us as well.
We're going to go for a quick break.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
So we're back. What are the common, like, give me an example. Give me a common thing of, because the thing about motherhood is I knew I was drowning, but I didn't necessarily know to reach out for help.
Yeah.
Not in the way I do now. Because I was exhausted, I was knackered, I just was like, God, will I even ever get any sleep when they were little? And then when they got older, it just had other problems. What are even examples of like women that have reached out to you and why?
So there's been, the common theme throughout every woman is this feeling of being lost,
right?
For sure. So even whether it be women who, for example, one particular woman who came to me who just felt like she wasn't giving the best of herself to anything in her life. She was working for somebody else at the time. She didn't feel like she was being present for her children. She was riddled with guilt. She was burnt out because she was working all these hours under the sun to benefit somebody else and just wasn't fulfilled or happy. So really her motherhood was filled with guilt at that particular time. And so we helped her by looking at what her vision of balance really looked like for her, what her dream scenario of balance is. And it was really to be working for herself. So helping her to see that what aligned with her true self was being her own boss in a business that she enjoyed, that she was able to pick and choose when she worked so that she was fully present for her children and finding her flow within that. So there's that sort of woman who's struggling more with work-life balance around being a mum and within her roles. Or there's the woman that is, you know, growing through her motherhood journey, whether that be 1, 2, 3 children or more, and is at that point where she's feeling like she's lost herself within that role. But actually what's happening there, and I fully believe this, is that she is evolving. And what happens is we aren't taught that person that we're kind of mourning isn't lost. That's just a different version of us. And as women, we evolve and we can become any version of ourselves that we want to. And motherhood is something that I think we evolve through time and time again.
But I think there's also, I like that, because what that does is it looks at that thing where women are not given enough space to think, okay, now you do need to adjust because it's completely different.
Yeah.
Whereas there is quite a lot written around men about becoming a father and how much they struggle with that. But, you know, as a woman, you go, not only have you given up your body, but you've given up every sense of freedom or self-nurturing and this sheer sense of overwhelming guilt when you take even a minute to yourself.
Yes. And I think that's because all of us go into this, we go into motherhood with an expectation of what it will look like for us, whether that be societies or based on our motherhood experience with our own mother. Sometimes we have this pre-exempt example of what we know we don't want to be.
I remember thinking that. I remember thinking I'm going to mother opposite to this.
Yeah.
But I didn't have a positive.
Yeah. And so we go into motherhood with this idea of what we expect it to look like. And still there is so much talk about all the beautiful parts of motherhood and not so much about that transition that we go through of evolving. And, you know, women aren't as honest about that or as gentle with themselves or compassionate because we haven't been taught how. And
well,
so
we've never been almost given permission to have that space.
Yeah.
Because it's all that you should breastfeed if you were a good mother. It's like, screw you, actually. You know, how do you think it feels that you decide that about my body?
Exactly. And I think that's why I'm so passionate about women understanding that they're on their own journey. And so when they are aligned with who they truly are, so what they believe in, what they value, what they want out of their life and within each role. And I think when you've got that foundation, you can travel through life, your roles, your evolution as it happens time and time again, being kind to yourself and compassionate to yourself and practicing true self-love, because for me, all of those things is what true self-love is. You know, awareness, acceptance, being able to love yourself in every form, in every transition, you know, having the tools to be able to connect with yourself deeply and giving your yourself space to be seen and heard in your own self, and then being able to speak your truth. I think that's where that all comes from. And so I think motherhood is definitely a journey that needs support so that women can really be them, the real them.
And also to have space so that they're allowed to say, which version of this do I want, instead of having it thrown at them.
Exactly that. And then that then leads them to be able to envision what balance looks like for them. You know, and when you are balanced within yourself, when you are living from your truest self, then you have good boundaries, and, you know, you don't fill your life scale with things that don't align with who you are.
I've got a new kitten here who is very definitely part of whatever this conversation is. He is absolutely, I'm listening to you, but I'm literally a pincushion. I've been scratched from every bit, you know, just managing, because he thinks climbing up you is you're finding balance, aren't you, darling? Yes, you are. I think that this is part of that bigger conversation that is the gaslighting of, here's what a good mother should be. Here's what, it'd be lovely for somebody to actually write a book going, here's what a bad mother should be. That'd be interesting on itself, because, you know, that could be a woman who just loved herself and made choices where she was important and defining that, you know?
And I think we know that when you do love yourself, you know, your children,
oh, so much.
You know, they benefit from that on a level that can't be measured. It cannot be measured.
Benefits. I mean, because if you love yourself, your children come up better, more stable. Their education has more value. They're better citizens. Your marriage is more important. Your relationship works better. I mean, like, there isn't anything that doesn't work better. But I love the way you talk about it. You have a very calm, very restful personality. And I also like, yes, darling, she does have a calm, restful personality. I also like how you, for you, it's a conversation around breathe.
Yes.
This space. Let me give you permission to have that space. Exhale. And now you've exhaled and now you're breathing. What does this look like when you constantly feel like you have space? But what choices? You know, we do this in the business. I've run my business for 15 years. And I'm encouraged and pushed to create a vision of myself as a CEO and a vision of myself in the business. No one ever asked me to create a bloody vision of myself as a mother. And that would have been a huge freaking help, I tell you.
Yes, because I think a lot of the time when we are pushing, especially to show up in our masculine, where we are working and we're in, you know, high and, you know, highly successful jobs, and I think that it can be really overwhelming to stop and pause and really reconnect with who you truly are, because you're showing up, you know.
Yeah, no, you're because it's busy as hell. Your back's against the wall. So
yeah.
It takes an awful lot of self-discipline to actually think of it any other way, which is probably why having a mentor helps. So before we finish, how do people find you?
So they can find me through my website, which is www.jadealana.com.
Elana, how do you spell that?
So it's Jade and then E-L-A-N-A. That's actually my middle name. My mum gave me that, which I love. And also on Instagram, which is at Jade Elana. I've actually got an event in Kent coming up on the 23rd of this month. And that is the Finding Your Balance Masterclass. It's a really safe space for women to be seen and heard. Very like friendly environment, quite small and intimate. And we're in a beautiful venue, Ode Street Food and Crafts Cafe. And we've got some stunning food included in that. So that's coming up this month. But yes, through my Instagram, my Facebook pages and my website, you can find me and my services on there. And I've also just set up a Facebook community called the Mummy Mindset, which is a space for all women who are navigating their motherhood journey at any stage, because I believe that motherhood is something that we all experience, whether we choose to have children or not. And it comes with its own expectations, its own, you know, judgment, shame, guilt that we have to deal with around that. And so this space is a really good space for honest, authentic conversations and love and compassion. So any woman who would like to be part of that is welcome to join. You just need to subscribe to my email list and we send the link.
Love that. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
I know this was your first podcast. How do you feel? Did you survive?
I enjoyed it. You made me feel beautifully comfortable and I love your cat.
I want him to not claw me to death. I can't believe the amount of marks I have all over my body. I'm like a pincushion, but he'll get over that, hopefully. Lovely to meet you. I wish you the very best of luck and I'm looking forward to following what you do.
Thank you so much. It was lovely to see you.
You're so welcome. My name is Geeta Sidhu-Rob and this is Activate Yourself. I hope that you found something in this that helped you, not just as a mother, but as a child for your mother, as a husband for your wife, and as a woman for another mother. Because really, if we could reimagine ourselves as women having this experience, as opposed to mothers trying to find something, you know, for themselves, I think it would make everything a better experience, honestly. But it has been a real pleasure to hang out with you guys, and I will speak to you again soon.
Thank you so much for joining us. Our goal was to give you pause, make you think about your life, and inspire you to say, wow, what if I tried to do that? If they can do it, so can I. Did it work? Let us know by finding us on social media at Geeta Sidhu Rob or at Nosh Detox. We upload new shows every 2 weeks here. And if you start to miss us, check us out on YouTube.